Is this Jason? Who's from Victoria, B.C.?
Yeah, it's Jason.
Yeah, we haven't heard from you lately. Did you go through an alienated phase where you couldn't handle me?
No, we got cut off last, like, was it two weeks ago when I was attacking your ego and you didn't like it.
Oh, yeah. And what was that all about? Do you feel bad about doing that now?
No, fuck no. No, I want to, someone mentioned that they wanted, like, Croker and Thompson to come in here, and it would be nice for them to come in here, but they don't want to come in here, so I thought I'd try to work on your communication style.
But they
didn't take it very well.
Now, wait, is someone...
Well, they don't want to come in here. Why don't they
want
to
come in here, Bob? People in your neighborhood wanted them to show up there?
No, someone else mentioned it on the coach house. I don't know, a couple weeks ago. How, like, they... I don't know, maybe it was, like, Dave, and he said something about, like, it'd be nice if they just, like, didn't come in here as Arthur Croker or Thompson and just...
Oh, they came into here to new coaches. I thought they meant out where you are.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but they came on.
Me, actually, saying that, like, if they don't want to come in officially, they should just come in under a fake name and participate anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah, man. Come on in, guys.
But, you know, Brian, you can tell the way they are. Their minds have led them to never doing that. Unfortunately
right.
for them, they
they're
could not
than...
do that. I could go onto their scene, but they won't come over here, which shows their limitation. Like you're on there with Thompson. He's published his new cycle of poetry. Did you see that, Brian?
Just recently?
Yeah, like the other day.
I haven't bothered to follow him until recently, so I might not have seen that.
Yeah, it's just new. He's been posting some poems. Now he's made a whole bunch of poems in some kind of cycle.
Cool.
I could read it sometime, but I'm not. It's not right now. But and Croker is very busy in some way. He just runs his website there, or he teaches. And he's very busy. And he just doesn't. I don't see him ever doing anything outside of what he's supposed to do in his role. I don't see him taking a break. Even when he goes on vacation, it's part of his job. They go to San Francisco and hang out with avant-garde artists, or they used to do that, you know. And then he'd write about them in his books.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's him doing his job, Croker.
Yeah, I remember talking to him once on the phone. He says, "I got to stop, Bob. I got to mark papers." You know, he has to do this teacher-student thing. And he's 1945, so he's 73, 72 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah, 40 to 70 is 2010. Right, 45, yeah. He said, I mean, it's amazing how long people are living. William Irwin Thompson, part of his poem is, he's 80 now, and he doesn't know what to do with himself, which I was going to bring up. He needs to get to Bob Land and realize he doesn't have to do anything. Or he's already being absorbed into that.
It's funny that exact thing was brought up. People lately were thrilled or titillated by the Quincy Jones interviews, and to me that was kind of the major takeaway from it, that the line he was hitting with these interviewers is like, yeah, I'm 80-something, but I don't feel like I'm winding down. I'm not planning on dying in the next 30 years, and I've got a ton of shit on my plate that I want to do. But don't talk to me like, what do you think it means being 80? That doesn't mean I'm about to die. It's not time to retire. So it's like,
right.
You know, Quincy Jones doesn't have the problem William Irwin Thompson has. Like, why is that?
Right.
Well,
and,
I don't think Quincy Jones
article. What?
Quincy Jones, just, he doesn't really make music. He
no, wait a minute.
What did
you say, Brian?
Music.
Hey, stop, because Brian was saying something.
Oh, no, just that, you know, if Thompson's thing is wisdom, then it's like, okay, well, how could you be faced with such a basic problem as you're bored or something, or you don't even know what to do with yourself at a certain age? Like, come on.
Yeah, like, he has to get over the idea he's 80, and we provide the means to do that. Now, Jason, I think I've seen you on McLuhan's, on Thompson's Facebook. Am I right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm friends with him.
Yeah, you're on there. You I think you liked his poem.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you read it?
I like poetry. Yeah, yeah. I like poetry, yeah, for sure.
No, but, I mean, you just see something that is like a poem, you like it. No, I mean, did you read his thing? Did you think that
yeah.
was interesting?
Yeah, he's yeah. written quite a few, yeah. I haven't liked them all, but I like
you,
most of them.
Hey, listen, you're appropriate here. I'm the poet of, not going to use the word slack, of being mediocre, not a specialist or have any special talent. That's where you're thinking you're wrong to say I have an ego. Us people don't have egos.
Well,
non-specialist people.
I caught you once, Bob, when I made a joke about
that's what Jitty
claims.
Nobody catches me. It's your own subjectivity. I'm going to listen to what your case is. But I tell you, nobody catches. There's nobody here. I'm not here. Okay, I just yelled.
Okay, Bob.
I'm not here. Well, there's no me in that.
That's
just bullshit or acting or something. Go ahead. Where did you catch me?
I made a joke. I said there's two types of people in this world. Those that can extrapolate from limited information.
And then I'm supposed to respond, right?
Well, you got pissed off because you're like, what the fuck? You got to keep saying the rest of it. And you got all mad, and then I think, well, it's a joke. Either you get it,
okay, I
or
don't
you
get
don't
mad.
Get it. Well,
I pretended I was mad. Look, I'm an actor.
I don't know. You snap.
I'm a modern, new kind of actor.
I could.
I pretend
I'm
human.
Records,
that's how
play
fucking acting
you,
I am.
I play it for you.
Yeah. Okay. So I got mad. It is not a madness that I identify with. I just expressed it. I live ahead
yeah,
of myself. That's the part that's behind
it's
me.
It was your ego, Bob. You got knocked down and you fucking snapped back.
I don't even care if I got knocked out. I'm not worried about losing. I have lost so much over the last 10,000 years that, you know, I don't have anything to preserve. I got nothing to lose. Me and Bobby McGee, we got nothing to fucking lose.
That actually reminds me of sometime like a week ago, the Olympics had just started, and there was some incident, I don't really know, but it created at least one. There was like a New York Times article about it where they're like, oh, Canadians apologized to Russia, and they didn't even have to. Like they didn't even do the thing they were apologizing for, and it's hilarious reading this. It's like, yeah, they think in their mind an apology is losing face. They don't understand that that's the Canadian superpower, is we don't lose face
right.
when we apologize, and so we don't
that's
lose
right.
it immediately. We didn't lose anything.
It's just etiquette.
Yeah, we don't have a face.
Yeah, we don't have a face. We never had one to begin with.
But, Brian, you just reminded me of my fucking punchline. I'm so fucking lazy, I didn't even finish my manifesto. This was my blinding pattern. Okay,
yeah.
You got Trump, a totally useless guy in terms of talent specialist. He's got none. Guess who the other guy is who has no fucking talent and has become a leader? Justin Trudeau. He's one of us.
Yeah.
He
yeah,
and
no,
Trump are the
no
same.
There, eh? Yeah.
Right. He was a kindergarten teacher for 3 weeks. That's all
yeah.
he ever fucking did, apparently.
Yeah, and like a
drama teacher
who didn't have to
drama. Like he's faking
yeah.
being human, like Trump. What were you saying, Brian?
That apparently one of his other like little jobs he had was as a bouncer or something, but of course only in an environment where no real,
problems.
Real bouncer skills.
Yeah, it was his wife's yoga class. He was a bouncer at his wife's yoga class.
yeah.
But no, it's a fantastic, like I think I saw the other day he's with Trump and people are mad because he's selling out to the oil companies and he's working for Trump or something. But what people don't realize, the average Toronto fucking lefty thinks that, you know, Justin is a good anti-environment to Trump. No, they're exactly the same.
Yeah, very much so.
That's a new insight there, Brian. I get credit for that one. No, bad chance that'll help me.
No. No.
It is a great pattern. You admit it, Brian? It's a good pattern?
Oh, yeah, that Trudeau is no anti-environment to Trump at all. Yeah.
Right. He's the same Dobbsonian.
Yeah, similarly, just very vaguely appealing to the mass, aiming for the dead center or something of the
right.
The
well, he has a popularity. He's the Canadian version of charisma, no face. Trump is the American version, you know, in your face. That's the two types.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I'm both. And us talentless people usually are nice people. Or I think it was like Kafka or somebody said, you want to know who your enemy is? It's your fucking lawn-keeping, background tulip-tending neighbor. That's your enemy.
That was Wyndham Lewis.
Yeah, Wyndham Lewis did it. Yeah, Wyndham Lewis knew. He was a guy with incredible talents. And he had to deal with all these mediocre people around him. And I don't like saying mediocre, just that they don't have talents. And he was complaining about his neighbor, who was one of these people who had no talent at anything.
Right.
We're the majority, and we generally go along. If we're in a war, we're the ones who get in the middle of the crowd. We don't fucking run to the front and do troubleshooting or anything. We hide in the inside the regiment in the middle there.
Right.
That's what we are. We're cowards, but we're the decent people.
Well, you instinctively avoid specialization that way. By not having
sticking
a particular
out.
Talent, you're not tempted to specialize.
Yeah, if you have no talent, there's no reason anybody to pay attention to you. So you become the audience. And in the analog media phase, as McCune said, the audience ruled. The audience ruled. Now, nobody's audience. Everybody's crew. Everybody is... Actually, here's an interesting point just occurred to me. Now that everything's obsolete, that means nothing's obsolete. So anything anybody can do can be a talent.
Okay, well, all right. If you're going to equate talent with specialization and you are without specialization, then that's fine. But I still think this is the first draft of your manifesto because talentless still doesn't work in describing Bob.
Okay, take RuPaul. She has a lifestyle image, and she gets a TV show, and I've never seen it, but I know that she has an audience. So RuPaul's an icon for being a talentless fucking gay person. I don't know what she even is, like what she's, why she's there, but she's there, and he, she, whatever she is.
Yeah.
That's what we mean. Today makes everybody, this is McCune's point of unity with diversity. Anything can fucking be flown today at the speed of light. Anything can be, grab attention. Artists, anything you can get away with. Being mediocre is the anything you can get away with.
Well, but the three of you, you and RuPaul and Trump, are experts in the use of the current media. So for you, that's being an expert in Finnegan's Wake and applying Finnegan's Wake to the current media technologies. And that's not talentless.
Well, I am saying it's our time. So we are the important people, the important icon, our style. And I'm saying that it's a threat to people who have actual talent.
Yes.
So, okay, my talent is to succeed without any talent. That's happening now. That's the figure for a ground.
Your expertise lies in being talentless, in appearing.
Yeah, not specializing.
Yes, in your.
Now you know what Eric said. Eric McCune once said, "I'm a specialist in generalisms." Maybe that's what we are. You know, just talk general stuff. But we don't
or
know
normalcy.
In particular.
Are you an expert in normalcy?
No. No, because we're always considered as freaks. But now, with Iron Dome, the freak, this kind of weird, non-talented freak, is the figure. That's how, it's like after flesh is dead. There's no humans anymore. So it's sort of like, and McLuhan did say that the cool TV medium brought in non-entities like John Carson. Johnny Carson, he would say that these people are talentless fucks who end up being, because they're good conversationalists. So maybe it's
the
something
jester.
To do with conversation.
The jester.
No, he's not even a jester. No, he's too bland. The jester is Lenny Bruce or someone who gets arrested. Or like Zappa. The king doesn't want the jester around anymore. The king is, as McLuhan said, Trudeau was both emperor and clown. See, the emperor is the clown. We don't need the jester anymore.
But the jester,
so the jester
is the one that brought the bad news to the king.
The jester, McLuhan said, was the probe. What bothered the jester, how the jester bothered the people, would tell the king where the people were in the court. He was the gauge. He would allow things to be revealed. I guess because he would be honest, and then he'd see how that rode. So
that's created discomfort. Well, he was the probe. And that was uncomfortable.
Now, today, everybody's a probe to everybody else.
So the ground is discomfort. Discomfort.
Here's a good point. Hey, is that your background that's making the echo?
Yeah. I'm gonna mute and fix it. So talk, and I'll fix it.
Yeah. Okay. So I have this friendship with a guy in Toronto, this local B-level playwright. And he said to me, he's always demanding me to send him a free sample bottle. And so he comes in and he says, He's always putting down Zappa. So I send him good Zappa bootlegs. And he says things about it. Trying to find what he said the other day. Now, this guy, he's an important person in Toronto in the arts grant world. These are people who do theater and stuff, but largely funded by grants. But you're somebody in the art world of Toronto if you can get grants. Right, Brian? Where's Brian? Did he disappear?
You're probably somebody if you can get grants anywhere these days, academic grants. So.
Right.
That makes sense.
But Canada, the art world is very grant in Canada. You know, it's sort of a socialist country.
Mm-hmm.
They even have to legislate Canadian content so American commercial hits don't dominate. So you have to play, you have to make Canadian, the commercial successes are programmed into the society. You have to, a radio station has to play, in the old days, had to play like 20% Canadian content. You had to do it. You had to promote local stuff, whereas the consumers, the Canadians, don't care about American Canadians that much. They liked America, and America could dominate the media. But a block was put up in the early 70s. This guy is part of that world. So he says, trying to find – oh, yeah.
Okay, so he's always asking you to send him – samples.
Yeah, a free bottle. So he says, I think this is where I write it. He goes, enjoying Frank Tunes that I'm sending him. still waiting for my free samples of RNA Reset products. You told me months ago they were available. How can I believe in your wacko ideas without free samples of More Than Music? All right? So he takes a swipe of me and my wacko ideas. He barely tolerates me on his Facebook page. I post up there all the time, and they're ignored. So I go, you order the sample. It's only about 15 American bucks plus shipping. We don't give out our products for free. As for my wacko ideas, I'm a playwright just like you. I use a different stage. Have been for 35 years. I'm not to be identified with anything I say, and I'm certainly not asking anybody to believe in anything I utter. My outerings are carefully programmed. My tiny note chart is the script. The play, in quotes, the play is titled Hand Signals for the Blind. Or I organized its 33 acts in 1976. So that's what I say to him. He called me a wacko, so I say all that. He writes back. He has looked at the RNA Reset site, and he says, I don't see the 15-buck offer. Of course, it's visible, but he didn't look hard enough. He says, 300 American a month would be 25%. Like, you look at all the products and the total or buying a lot of it. 300 American a month would be 25% of my fixed income from pensions, etc.
Yeah, so.
So, you know, he's on a pension. He's in his late 60s.
So.
So that's a problem when you got a limited income. Then he says, what's your fucking profit margin on this joy juice? I don't even know what that means. Do we have profit margins, Carol? I think I asked her. Profit margins. Does that mean profits? Anyways, I don't know enough about economics to know it. I'm an expert on LaRouche, though. Anyways, he goes, no discounts for fellow artists? You want us all to die of magnesium starvation because you can't take the playwright in competition, I assume. But then, once again, your misuse of language betrays you. A playwright is someone who writes plays. Plays are presented live in front of audiences. What you do is something else, although it may be a form of paradrama, P-A-R-A. All right? First time I've ever been called that. So I go, paradrama, I like that. And then I give him the particular part of the RNA drops where he can see the $15 bottle. Then I said, we should talk. We're getting into phone call levels of talk here. I can call now or later at your convenience. I got to make sure he does the sample properly. I have to get on the phone. We can't do this thing. And I didn't explain the paradrama thing to him. So he goes, I said, are you up? And he says, sorry, Bob, I was not up. I'm just rattling your chain. Phone call would be fun as I could hear your laugh, which is always charming. So, see, I get away with a lot with my laugh. Everybody likes my laugh, right? Agree with that, Gene?
Absolutely. That's the most fun part of any show.
Right. So he said he ordered the trial vial. Sounds yummy. Okay. So this guy, he ain't going to last. He's going to last 3 days with it. It won't heal him completely, whatever his problem is, and he'll be pissed off. So we got to get in there and massage his fucking ego and explain to him how you only do one drop a day. And you got to do that for 5 years before you do the next phase. On and on, right? Right, Bert?
Yeah.
Bert would have been laughing 10 minutes ago, but he was on mute.
One drop for five years.
And don't eat anything. Don't eat anything for 8 hours before or 8 hours after you take that one drop.
Yes, and you will get sick. You will get sick for this one drop. You want vertigo. You'll want to jump off the window. You'll think you're immortal.
Hey, you know, you remember, was it a year or 2 years ago after the restructure came out that wintertime, Ion said if you got the flu, you'd never get it again?
Right.
And a number of us got the flu. You know, it.
Right,
hit.
Like you were supposed to. You take the product, you'll get the cold. And then you won't get one again.
And I haven't been sick since then.
Yeah.
Right.
Is anybody else?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, I
some he will. It. Some perverse fucking human. Yeah, just to fuck me up, we'll get sick. We'll mock them. We know why they got sick. They got to be different. Like Jason. Jason, have you ever taken the products? I don't know if he's still there.
No, never taken them.
See? Wow. Like Jason, he's a narcissist.
Oh,
he's so good looking. Just a mask and his good lookingness. I got his goat there, didn't I? Oh, I can hear your voice, Jason. I heard you there. You fucking didn't cover that up very well.
And a huge narcissist.
Listen to the pain
huge,
in Jason. The pain. Look at the ego in Jason. Look at him. He's just mumbling. He's just vertigo. Jason's going through vertigo at my blow. But Jason,
no.
That's a good topic. My ego. I think that's a great topic. Let's talk about my ego and how I don't have one. Now you have proven, you have subtly undermined my whole agenda by proving I do have an ego when I fail to get your joke.
Yeah. No, it's the way you reacted to it.
I think it was hilarious the way I reacted. I know it was hilarious. I don't even remember. I don't remember how I did, but I know I was being hilarious. Every reaction I do is funny. And Bert, watch Bert. He's my laugh track. He gets every fucking intonation shift. You ever notice that, Jason? Who's the guy always giggling behind?
Hey, Jason, are you serious
that
you've never taken the products? You've never taken a complete product.
Not once. No.
But why
joking,
is that,
right?
Jason? No, he's not joking.
I don't
he's like
think
OJ. He's like OJ.
No, what'd you say? No, Bert, let's hear what his answer is. Why don't you take them, Jason?
I said I don't think I need them.
I know you come
reason,
here.
I think there are two.
Did you ever talk to Ion?
I have. No, I haven't.
Have you been on the line listening to him ever?
Yeah, I've heard Ion. Yeah, for sure.
What got you here? What attracted
you? My McLuhan knowledge. He's into Bob knowledge.
Oh, he came in from McLuhan.
Yeah, he knows I got the glue.
Croker, yeah.
Yes. And he studied
I'll give
it.
You that, for sure.
Yeah, he'll give me that. Paul, what's that? David Letterman. I want all of that. I'll give you that one. That's right. No, he knows.
Without
he knows. He's studied enough of this POMO stuff to know that I know about a lot about it. And he took it in school. So I am the guy to go to if you've got an ego.
Well, and he has no ailments.
You've got to get this stuff.
You've got no health issues. You have no health concerns, Jason.
Well, he's
no,
so
I'm,
good
I'm
lucky.
Pretty, I'm pretty healthy.
He already thinks he's going to live forever. He has no concept.
Yeah, he's a narcissist. Jason
dying.
Is a blatant narcissist. He just looks at his face.
Narcissist.
He's very handsome. He's just there with a hippie Indian garb on. And
I didn't say that, Jason.
I can't be a narcissist and do the job that I do. I can't have an ego and do the job that I do.
Wait a minute. What is this? First of all, you got a job.
Now, wait
you're
a minute.
You're not one of us. You got a goddamn purpose. You're not one of the slack-filled. Yeah. What is your job? You mind retards in a halfway house or something?
No, I work with kids in the youth criminal justice system. So instead of going to, like, juvenile detention, they can come in this program that I work in.
You're kind of like Love Job. You ever heard Love Job here?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'd love to have a conversation with him. I've been meaning to. You've told me that before to meet up.
Right. Love Job is a, professional. You're more of a social worker kind of role than a doctor thing that he is?
Yeah, I'm not a counselor by any means. I mean, I do counsel, but I'm not like, I don't have the initials behind my name, so to speak.
Right. You make less than he does.
I'm like a outdoor recreational therapist kind of thing. I do.
We call them paraprofessionals, Bob. Paraprofessionals.
Oh, like me. Para playwright.
Yeah.
Paradramatist. I'm one of those. I'm like
semi-talent.
We're para people that don't have much of a talent. Yeah, they're not specialists too much. Okay, so... So, Jason, what do you think of the virtual kids? You know, we've heard Lovejob talk about them. What do you make of these millennials? What's your experience of them?
They're so unique. Everyone is completely different. They have a different, completely different sense ratio. So you can't really come at them from one approach. You have to kind of understand where they're coming from, understand their ground.
Let me react, Jason. Yep. Let me react to what you've said so far. Words are generally generalizing. You can't use words with them. That's why they can't talk, because they're too general and don't apply to their uniqueness. Am I right?
Well, some of them have huge egos, and then some of them don't. Some of them are super quiet, and, like, it's hard to get any words out of them, whereas others, they'll fucking talk your ear off and critique everything and won't bring anything to the table. I'm always like, program or be programmed, but they don't want to put themselves out there by saying that they want to know something or to do something, some certain activity. But they like to just sit back and critique.
Yeah, they're my kids. I named them back in 95. I called them the Morpheus generation. I said, they're Bob's. The way I've lived, they live. They try to. You know, I see that they just sit back and, I don't know if I'm about criticizing, but it's an extension of that, that I did.
Well, Jason,
in the context of
your work with youth, I would suspect that they're trying to find their identity or their ego in these days. I mean, don't you think it's a struggle or a search for their ego itself rather than overinflated ego?
Some of them are pretty sure of themselves, and they don't kind of branch out and don't explore too much. But other ones, they, like, I had, like, Thursdays we do groups, which is like an hour and a half, kind of like on a certain topic of like addictions or drugs or anxiety. And last week I did a media ecology one, actually. And some of them got a little bit out of them, but one of them was like, this is fucking stupid. I already know all this. Like, none of you guys could teach me anything. Like, life is easy. I don't need to learn anything. And he's like 15. And I was like, man, I can't wait to talk to you in like 5 years.
Oh. Now that's fascinating, because that's an expression of slack. And you have a perspective on, at age 15, what this person is going to experience with that approach. And here we talk about taking that approach in these times. Don't we, Bob? So
yeah, but you have security kind of to fall back on, because at the end of the day, you do know the general patterns of society and the interactions, but they don't. They kind of have a
crowd. I'm not 15. Right.
Yeah.
So that's applying it. That's a dual perspective for you then, if you're a McLuhanite and a Crokerite.
It's tough to interact with them sometimes, for sure.
How did you approach media ecology in a group session like that? How did you introduce it?
Try to approach it like media ecology in the sense of, like, there's a desert environment, there's an underwater and, like, marine environment, and certain animals and certain ways of being are going to be able to be procured in those environments, but you can't take a deep sea fish and put them in the desert, like, they're not going to be any good. So, like, using that as different modes of communication environments. So, like, certain modes of communication are good for certain activities and certain problems or negotiations, and others not. So, like, don't have a big, heavy conversation on texting, because you're going to have miscommunication, and do it over the phone, but best face-to-face, because you're going to get a different person, there's different characteristics in each environment.
Interesting. So it's really discussion about how to manage the different environments as a 15-year-old.
Yeah, a healthy diet, for sure.
Like, and I use an example of, like, how cell phones really changed. Like, before cell phones, you were really happy when the doorbell rang because it was kind of a surprise, like, who's it going to be? But now I have friends that are like, fuck, if you ring my doorbell and you don't text me first, or I'm not even going to get up off the couch. Like, I don't know who it is. It's probably some advertiser or something. So there's, like, a flip when the cell phones and having someone knock on your door.
Wow. And 15-year-olds don't know anything different to that response. That response.
No, well, they don't have contrast. They don't have contrast yet, so you can't pull any reference points. And like media ecology is all about contrast. You don't know the effects of an environment without contrasting with the other environment. So they don't have that contrast yet. So it's difficult. They do a little bit because they can jump around from the different mediums. So they kind of have you can kind of tap into it a little bit, but they don't have enough experience to really see the patterns or understand the patterns.
Jason, are these juvenile delinquents or drug dependent? What?
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's quite different than Love Jobs, because Love Job, I think he deals with primarily drug addicted youths. So it's pretty interesting. So is it a group home?
No.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. They have their own like kind of care homes, and then we pick them up in the morning from like
wow.
some people who like kind of adopt them for 4 months. And we pick them up in the morning and do educational stuff in the morning for 3 hours, and then do activity stuff in the afternoon and life skills, programming, like making dinner and going to play pool or play basketball or go swimming.
Do you teach them how sugar is as addictive as cocaine, and they have to start by cutting out the sugar?
Oh, yeah. For sure. But I also tell them, like, kids, from what my understanding is, kids don't have an upper limit for sugar intake. Like, they don't have a point to which, like, this is too much sugar. Where adults is like, whoa, that's too much, it's too much. But from my understanding is the kids don't, because they come from an environment where like they want to take in as much sugar and nutrients when they're growing that they're not going to have an upper limit to that.
Hmm.
Yeah, and they're pretty well-versed in the drug realm, so I just tried to explain to them like different modes of communication are drugs. Like, use that knowledge from your drug world, how like weed is different from alcohol versus meth or whatever, and how that affects you in different ways, and kind of apply that knowledge to the media environments. But I don't know how much they get out of it.
So it's like the Which program of a replacement for school? Is it a replacement for school, or they go to school also, or is it, you said 3 hours a day? So
no, most of these guys don't go to school. They do some sort of alternative correspondence school stuff, kind of go at their own pace kind of thing, because most of these kids have already, the school system has failed them.
Oh, okay.
How did they get categorized
as the young criminals, or whatever they are? What'd they do?
Well, they'd probably got arrested for stealing or for doing assaults and breaking enters or caught with drugs, driving without a license, all sorts of things.
So how is this program financed, Jason? Is it subsidized or is it paid for by
it's subsidized
health insurance?
It's a non-profit, but we get our contracts from the government.
And so then it's affiliated with the criminal justice system for minors in some way, do you think?
Yeah, they have to be wrapped up in the criminal justice system to a certain degree,
like,
to be part of the
State Department of Corrections program type of thing.
Well, it's in Canada, so it's, I don't know if it's
the
Ministry of
Sorry.
Youth and Family Care in D.C. here, or
okay.
if it's the justice system. I'm not sure where the actual funding comes from.
But it's province, the funding comes from the province? Or is it federal?
Or maybe a little bit
national.
Of both, from federal and from provincial.
Okay.
Yeah. So I can't have an ego at my job. I'd get eaten alive. they pick up on that shit real quick. And you just get in like a battle, and it's no good. You got to be subtle.
And that's, yeah. I can only think of blowjob. Bert, help me. Because Bob calls him blowjob.
Love job.
Love job.
Young, or young blood.
About, thank young you, blood, yeah. Young blood. he talks about that as well, is how you have to be very secure in yourself, but
yeah.
Not
oh,
show
yeah.
It.
They're like sharks. They'll
stand out.
If you're hesitant at all, if you have to think for half a second,
you
they're like,
waver for a
off.
Minute.
Do you have a large group? Do you have a large group or small, medium?
Usually 2 to 3, but we got 4 at the moment. We're going to get a 5th
oh, okay.
year coming up.
Okay.
And that definitely changes things, the group dynamics.
It's all male, no
four
female.
4 and 5. Once, yeah,
no females, it's all male. Okay.
Oh, that'd be madness. There's co-ed.
Yes, it would.
Aren't you just a babysitter, ego man? Jason,
ego man,
ego job.
sometimes I guess, but I don't approach. Maybe some of my coworkers approach it like that. I've definitely had coworkers like, "Why do you do this? Like you're just fucking pissing into the wind." But I don't know. They just I take every moment as like a. It's a game to open up a therapeutic window to install new perspective and pass on knowledge. Because we have to work with these
hey, Jason,
this generation, man. They're coming up.
Jason, do you ever look at the chat line? Are you online that way?
Yeah.
Well, my ego is constantly being massaged there. People are quoting my great lines. Are you aware of that?
I am aware, oh great one. I am aware.
Yes. Mateo, he loves the line, nobody catches me. Leah's always in the middle, sort of half confused. Leah's there, bang, bang. Then Leah goes, what the fuck, after Mateo says nobody catches me. And then A-R-O blank, what? And then Mateo highlights my next statement, I pretend I'm human. See, he's noticing what I'm saying. It's like, Bert. And then Leon laughs at the no face. And then Alex says, linked to a story about a skier in New York that appeared in California all of his ski gear. And then Michael says, Bob, one of your talents is asking questions. Yeah, because I don't know nothing. I say, hey, what's going on? What do you do? What's that? What? You're a teenage worker? How do you do that? See? Endless questions, Michael, when you don't know nothing. I mean,
question
yeah,
the answers
kid,
will
guy.
Answer the questions.
Yeah, my fellow kid said to me one day, I don't know, it was around 10, this is in France, and he says, will you stop asking why? Irritated by my interrogative style. Stop asking. You ask so many goddamn questions. I couldn't have a good small talk, 10-year-old kid talk with him. I was analyzing him right there on the spot, making himself aware. He didn't like it. Mateo write that in, making them self aware, in quotes. Mateo says, pretending to be human. Pretending to be human, says Mateo. Art is a put on, acting, talents. Artist put on or acting or talent, something like that. And then Susan J. says, what we have been, wait just a second here, is a sober statement, looks like. What we have been seeing worldwide from India to the UK to the US is the rebellion against the inner circle of no skin in the game policymaking clerks and journalist insiders. That class of paternalistic, semi-intellectual experts of some Ivy League, Oxford, Cambridge, or similar label-driven education who are telling the rest of us, one, what to do, two, what to eat, three, how to speak, four, how to think, and five, who to vote for. And she's, I think she's quoting Nassim Taleb. I don't know if that's a geometer or a sacred guy, Nassim, or another person. But I'm not sure is... Now, the Evergreen said way back in the 90s that a vox populi was their term, V-O-X-P-O-P-U-L-I. What we'll see, they said, over the next 10, 15 years is a vox populi, the people rising up saying, stop telling us what you're fucking saying. Now, I would say technically the AP enhancing of the web, which makes you think you're bigger than media, then anybody tries to tell you anything becomes a mood, an effect of that technology from 95 on and spreads. So the vox populi, I think, is what she's saying here. What we have been seeing worldwide from India to the UK to the US, is a rebellion against the inner circle of, what does no skin in the game mean? Like, they're not involved? They've got jobs of being policymakers, and they're not struggling with the effects of the policy. The inner circle of no skin in the game, policymaking clerks in quotes, and journalists hyphen insiders. That class of paternalistic, not just paternalistic, women are part of this class. Look at Maureen Dowd. That class of paternalistic semi-intellectual experts with some Ivy League, Oxford, Cambridge, or similar label-driven education who are telling the rest of us. So this is a basic resentment against the information environment, or at least the analog phase when it was one-way broadcasting. Now we have two-way and we can react. So Susan is saying the mood is that, but Susan, if she was a good student of me or Jason, she would say, well, the ground of this is the Android meme, which makes people think that they're smarter than experts. So, but see, we need experts so that we can satirize them. You have to have dupes come forward to be the authorities, and that's why politicians, everybody looks stupider and stupider, because nobody will do it. But it's easier to be in the audience and snipe back at them.
The critic, you're the talentless critic.
Yes, the talentless
critic. The ignorant critic.
Yes. That's all we can be. Yes. We're surplus flesh. So who are telling the rest of us, one, what to do, what to eat, how to speak, how to think. Now, Ion said, well, I told you what the Evergreen said many years ago, 22 years ago or more. Ion said in 2009, you're going to see people not being interested in health advice. They're sick of people telling you what to eat or how to be healthy. I don't know if Carolyn saw that trend, but Carolyn came up with something that was an anti-environment to that trend, because she says, you know, yes, I'm not telling you what to eat. I'm saying this stuff will actually make you better, which you have never experienced before. So you bypass that situation, Carolyn. So you didn't have too many people telling you to go fuck yourself. Yeah. But would you say that's a trend out there among the population?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He says overwhelmed. She said that. So what to do, what to eat, how to speak, how to think, and who to vote for. So that's Susan. And then Mateo says, I don't know if he's quoting the Bible. He says, the first, not in quotes, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The talented are elsewhere refining a talent. That's godless, he says. The talentless are here inheriting the kingdom of Bob. Now, that's an accurate statement, right? The talented are elsewhere refining a talent. The talentless, like Jacob here, or Jason, rather, are here inheriting the kingdom of Bob. And then somebody says, or Linda says, Bob's been loading that gun for 10 minutes. Now, what is she talking about? Is she talking about the way I'm going to lash out at Jason or something? What gun am I loading?
I don't know. Keep going.
Nope.
Because there's more from Linda.
Leah says, nope, I haven't been sick since. I haven't been sick since.
Oh, Leah hasn't. Yeah, since restructure. That when we
right.
talked about.
And then Gene, you given a definition, various definitions of ego from the dictionary. And then Linda says, the hype is too damn high. With some Uncle Tom black guy. Maybe that's what she thinks I look like. I probably she thinks I'm a black guy. She thinks I look like that guy. No, Linda. I don't look like that guy. Anyway,
well, that could be a woman.
Damn high.
That could be a black woman. It could be.
No. Maybe a new Paul.
We just don't know these days, Bob. We don't.
That's right. That's right. Leon, the hype is too damn high. He commented on that. Then a guy named Jurg has an icon with weightlifting, barbell lifting, and then Leon shows muscles. Then Leah says, you better text me first. And then
here's the kicker.
Says, Bob stepped out for a moment. And
that's
then
a
I
marijuana
go,
leaf.
No, I'm here,
no.
Jerg.
Wait, Bob, that's a marijuana leaf. He's implying that you went out and got high when you weren't there.
I don't. I went out and I can't tell you what I did. It's
washed
illegal.
Your hands. Okay. Washed your hands.
No, I didn't wash my hands. It was illegal. And then you might have heard Carolyn was not on mute, me yelling at Carolyn. Did you guys hear that?
No.
No.
Okay. Jerg said she caught me doing something illegal, so I told her mind her own business. And Jerg said,
"What
I
were
think
you peeing
really
outside?"
Bob's button. No, I'm not telling you what I did. Anyways, Jerg said, "I think you really pushed one of Bob's buttons." So this Jerg trying to get my button by saying that. That worked, Jerg. Minimax is smoking pun. That's pretty good. Smoking gun, smoking pun. Then Gene posts some incomprehensible link, which I'm not going to check out. Then Leon says the Oracle is the Evergreens. The re-Ion, re-Oracle is Ion. That's not bad. Then Susan, who's listening right now, tells me Nassim Taleb is a Wall Street quant. That means a guy who does mathematical economics. Who wrote the Black Swan, or makes the algorithms, maybe that's a better way to say it. Who wrote the Black Swan? No skin in the game refers to those who speak without having any consequence for themselves. Right.
Uh-huh.
They're the virtual class.
Uh-huh.
You might want to read Susan Croker's Data Trash, 1994. It's an update of Marx, and it is all about the virtual class. You know, there's not a middle class, poor class, or rich class. There's the virtual class, which are the dominators of the information environment. That's who you're complaining about. And they have no skin in the game because they're not here in the chemical body. Then Minimax just thought he was a man, but he was a mustache. That's pretty good. That's why I missed 10 minutes. I don't get you there why you missed 10 minutes. You guys know? He missed 10 minutes. I don't know why. Susan, like you, Bob, Taleb came out with a phrase that's become a part of the common lingo. Minimax is no grin in the scam. Not sure what that is.
No grin in the scam. Nice.
You see, now look, there's a good example. I'm reading it. I'm embedded in the visual effect of it. I can't hear it. Carolyn's on the side. She can hear it and get the pun. That's a good example of what visual space does. It makes you unaware of the acoustic dimensions as you try to translate
Bob,
the meaning.
I'm just smarter.